Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Ears podcast produced by Terrier TV. I am Alligator Rob. That is Bill Curtis. Mr. Curtis, how are you?
I am good, Frank. How you doing?
Absolutely wonderful. Yeah, it's been a great week. How about you?
Has it? Okay. No, for me, it is coming to the end of school, and it's a very tiring time.
I was going to say, when you said, has it? Yeah, I kind of got that idea that maybe it hasn't been.
This is just, it's just a weird time. Everything's coming together. The kids are testing, and the seniors are trying to get ready to get out. We at Terrier TV are doing the senior video. And
the senior video.
Senior video, yes.
Is that editing a bunch of pictures together?
It used to be in your day. That's what it was.
That's true.
It's what it was. Now it's much more complicated, much more multimedia.
There's a bunch of pictures in Green Day.
And a bunch of pictures in Green Day. I think we still play Green Day.
Do you? Okay.
Probably will. Yeah. And
it's a good song for
which
that.
Is always ironic to me because the actual name of that song is Good Riddance.
Respect. Okay.
And so I've always thought, okay, yeah, we can live with that.
Yeah, it works out all right.
Yep.
So there's this magical thing going on right now called technology.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, and we have Cindy joining us via phone. What up, Cindy?
Hi.
How's it going?
It feels really weird to be on this side.
Now you get an idea what it's like for our guests sometimes, huh?
Yeah, I'm not used to it. I kind of like it, though.
So how are you, Cindy?
Oh, I am just wonderful.
Yeah, that's a little bit of sarcasm, but
a little bit of sarcasm, but
we appreciate that, Cindy.
I am clearly not in the studio today because I have COVID.
Yikes. Well, I sure hope you get feeling better.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry you're having to join that train of COVIDness. It's not much fun.
Definitely not, but you know what? I'm super thankful that I had the opportunity to get the vaccine because I had COVID twice actually before the vaccine was available.
Dang.
Obviously, with my job, I am highly exposed. And I can tell you this time, this is nothing compared to before. So I'm super thankful, but I didn't want to come and spread it.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
And we're sorry you're sick, but thank you for not giving us COVID.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty rough.
You're welcome.
Anyhow, we are joined today. We ready to get into this, guys?
Let's do it.
We ready for this?
Oh, we're ready.
We are joined today by two ex-presidents. And that was a bad start. Mr. Curtis got me on that path. It was totally wrong. Miss Kennedy Johnson, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
Doing excellent. So you are the volleyball coach for Titusville High School?
I am.
Tell us all about it.
Well, I coach volleyball at Titusville High School.
there you go.
I like it. She's nice to the point.
How long you been doing that?
This will be my third season. This fall will be my third season.
Okay. Can somebody turn that off? Thank you.
Somebody's calling Frank, and it's important.
It always happens, right? When we start this,
I know, right?
Yeah, it is what it is. But so you've been coaching for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Have you coached anywhere before Titusville High School?
I coached at Winter Springs High School in 2018, I think. 2018, I believe.
Okay.
And then I coached club volleyball, coached down in Miami, coached in Orlando, and now I'm here.
So you've been playing volleyball pretty much your whole life?
Just about, yep.
That's pretty much your jam?
Yep, that's it.
What position did you play?
I did almost everything, but my main position was middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us about what you love about coaching. You know, since you were a player, you got to see that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
What did you gather from that you took over to your coaching style? And, you know, tell us about your coaching style, too.
I think you coach how you were coached. And so I grew up with a fantastic coach, and I loved the experience that I had with her. She was my greatest mentor, still is to this day. Still call her, ask her questions, and ask her for advice to this day. And so my biggest coaching philosophy is I want to be that for my girls and my players, and I want them to feel like I'm an advocate for them for their entire life, not just while they're on my team. So
that's
amazing. Because I bet you anything, for some of those girls, you might be the only person who feels that way.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's great. It's great being there and being somebody they can talk to and bring things beyond volleyball too, right?
Right, yes, for sure. For sure. I think life lessons are just as important, if not more important than volleyball lessons, for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's the way it should be with a coach.
So now, did you play college?
I did not. I turned down my college offers because I wanted to coach. So I went to school for coaching.
Oh, okay. So
that's
that was
amazing.
Your major?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Yes.
Oh, cool. How early on did you know that was your going to be your role?
So when I was 15, I was playing club volleyball, and club volleyball is super expensive. So I got a scholarship to kind of help my parents out with it. I applied for a scholarship, and one of the requirements was you had to coach one of the younger programs at that club. And so I started coaching 5-year-olds and fell in love with it because they're adorable, and they basically play with a balloon to get the ball over the net. So I just fell in love with how cute they were and how much fun it was to see the progress. So every year after that, till I graduated high school, I took on a little bit more responsibility in the club and coaching. And I want to say I've known since then that that's my passion and that's what I want to do forever.
It's interesting you say that. So that's I started my when I started coaching, I started it with 4 to 7-year-olds. And I found out that doing that, you actually learn more about yourself and about the game than you do with any other age group.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You pick up on what works, what doesn't work at the youngest, at that beginning stage, and everything else is just, it's smooth as mayonnaise from there.
Yeah, definitely.
I have a theory, and you tell me if you think this. I think the best players do not make the best coaches because it comes too naturally to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't understand the mechanics. They don't understand how it works. The players that have to work at it, that understand the process of it, make the better coaches because they can teach it. Whereas somebody who's really good at it goes, well, you just do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so
it'd be like trying to teach mechanics to somebody that has perfect mechanics, trying to teach someone else those mechanics.
Yeah.
Of any
definitely.
Sport.
Yeah.
Right. And so it really does require you to break it down to be a good coach, to think, well, what can I show these kids, and especially the young ones, 5, that will teach them so that they can be able to do this skill.
Right.
Yeah. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about your, you know, major influences growing up.
What do you mean, major influences?
Major influences outside of coaching, you know, people that helped you become the person you are now.
I went to a really small private high school, so super close with all of my teachers. Definitely had like a relationship beyond the classroom with all of them. And so it was really easy for me to see how, as an adult, I wanted to treat kids that were younger than me. And I just... like having mentors like your teachers outside of the classroom is a great opportunity and a great way to like see how you want to lead in the future. So those were definitely some of my major influences.
If you had to like break down your leadership style into a handful of words, what would it be?
Servant leadership.
What? That was really good.
Yeah.
On point. You were ready for
did
that
did not
one,
even
you?
Hesitate.
Yeah, there was...
I'm not familiar with that phrase. Tell me more about that.
Basically, what can I do to serve you to make you a better athlete? So my days are over. I can't put a jersey on. I can't go on the court, but I can serve you. And I can, again, just teach you those life lessons that are almost just as important, if not more important than the skill. And so if I'm there to just serve and be a mentor and an example, you're going to trust me as a person. And if you trust me as a person, then you're going to trust me as a coach.
That's amazing.
Thanks.
It makes a difference when you get to know the kids that you're working with.
Yeah, for sure.
Instead of just telling them, hey, this is where you're supposed to be and what you're doing, let me learn a little bit about each one of you guys and what more I can give to you beyond just the game we're playing.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
So do you do, back in the day, I used to sponsor SGA way back, like about Frank's time.
Okay.
And one of the things that we did was, like right before, the week before school started is, we'd have this big lock-in at one of the church gyms. We would have it there, and we'd have all of these different games and activities to try to build that team together.
Yeah.
And do you do things like that? Things that are not really volleyball related, but kind of
team building activities.
Team.
Yeah, definitely. So I just kind of put together our entire schedule for the fall. And every week we've got some sort of team building activity. I preach to the girls, like, you don't have to be best friends. You don't even have to like each other, but you are a team. And so you have to spend the time together, because if you don't trust each other the same way they trust me, they're not going to trust each other on the court. So we spend a lot of time doing any sort of team bonding that we can. And I like to keep it as community involved as possible. So a lot of our team bondings like lead back to the football games or lead back somewhere. Let's do something on campus or serve a local charity or community that needs our help. And charity oftentimes brings the girls closer together more than you could even think bowling would, or going out and going roller skating. So
So in volleyball, communication is key.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it is in a lot of sports, but I think more so in volleyball than any other.
Yeah.
Because if you're not calling the ball or telling people, you know, you're setting the ball or who to look for, you get collisions and balls hitting the ground and people growing roots and everything else. How in the world as a coach do you preach communication on the court? Because it's a very different than communication off the court.
Yeah,
it's a whole different thing.
Definitely. I tell them if you're not talking about something, it's impossible to be fully mentally checked into it. So there has to be something that you're saying. So a lot of times I'll tell them ball setter, ball hitter. And so that's their order of what they're looking at when the ball is on the other side of the court. So somebody's always saying something. Ball's going out here, ball's going to the outside, watch the pass, watch it off. So they always have something to say and be talking about, because if they're not talking, then they're not 100% checked in because their thoughts are leading you somewhere else.
Yeah, it's easy to get lost in the middle of in any kind of game, but it seems in volleyball it's almost mesmerizing sometimes.
Yeah.
Just watching the volley go back and forth. The next thing you know, you're just kind of standing there and the ball's coming at you and you're going, "Oh yeah, by the way, that was something I was supposed to be doing and I lost track of it."
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever play volleyball, Cindy?
No, I did not.
No, I'd say volleyball's I've always enjoyed volleyball. Tall, lanky fella, kind of makes sense.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I played volleyball for 30 years.
Really?
We used to play on a four-ball racquetball court, play volleyball, you know, 2-on-2, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But about a year ago, my shoulder messed up, and I just can't do it anymore, and it hurts me that I can't do it, because it was so much fun.
Yeah, it's a great workout.
And I was, you know, and as when I was younger, I was better at spiking the ball, but I pretty much learned my specialty was setting the ball.
Yeah.
If I had a guy who could kill it, and I could set him all day long.
Yeah.
And so that made me valuable.
Yeah.
Because I could set the ball. Not so much because I could kill it.
Right.
But you know, and I think if you know your role like that, then it makes you a better player.
Yeah, definitely.
And
knowing your strengths and weaknesses 100% does.
Yeah, because you know, we'd have guys come in, and you know, everybody thinks that they can kill the ball.
Yeah,
everybody thinks they can. Yeah, and so and you know, and that was never one of my things. It's like, no, I'll set you.
Yeah,
I'll set you.
Yeah.
So, what are your hobbies outside of volleyball?
Well, when I get the time outside of volleyball. I couldn't even tell you.
It doesn't exist? Is that what you're telling me?
No, it does not exist. Does not exist. I go pretty much straight from school to volleyball practice at school and then to club practice after school. So
you teach here as well?
I do.
What do you teach?
I teach geometry.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
How in the world does the geometry teacher become the volleyball coach?
Actually,
or how does the volleyball coach become the geometry teacher?
It was definitely the opposite. I became the volleyball coach first, and then I guess there was a math teacher who was retiring. So the athletic director called me and asked if I would like to teach, and I said, I don't really know much about teaching. He was like, it's the same as coaching. You'll figure it out.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. I said, I don't know much about math either. And he said, you can figure that out too. So.
Oh my goodness.
Now that I think about it, you know, volleyball is kind of like a geometry in the air kind of thing. You
right?
Know,
there's shapes.
It kind of is. Yeah, there's shapes. Yeah.
There's angles.
Right.
There's angles.
There's, yes.
Isosceles triangles and things of that nature.
Exactly.
I haven't found many of those yet, but I'll let you know.
So you were not a math major?
No.
So has it been a bit of a learning curve?
It definitely was at first. I had to like keep my answer key right next to me, or definitely distract my students and be like, hang on, I got to answer an email while I Googled the answer or how to do it. but I definitely have the hang of it now, I would say.
It's probably another one of those things where the students have helped you learn it as you went along as well.
100%. 100%.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, when you start a subject, I mean, I had teachers tell me, you just have to stay a chapter ahead of the students. If you're a chapter ahead, then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And but the first year we did block scheduling, they gave me psychology to teach.
Oh.
And I had no idea.
How'd that happen, Mr. Curtis?
It was a social studies class. I was a social studies teacher. And
psychology
said,
is a,
you're going to teach
well,
it. It is a social science, yes. And so, so I would have the kids break up into groups, and you guys cover this chapter, this part of the chapter, you cover this part of the chapter. And then I'd let them do little presentations.
There you go.
And they all learned. And I learned, too. I mean, I really did. It was a good experience. But like you said, I mean, getting thrown into the deep end of the pool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
No doubt about it. Yeah. So, I mean, do you see yourself at any point teaching something different? Or are you sticking with geometry now? You're all in.
I think I might be all in for geometry now. Now that I know it and I
you're kind of building a passion
are
of that
so
too.
Easy to grade. I don't have to read an essay.
That's true. It's geometry, either right or wrong.
Yeah, say geometry's right got to be wrong. Pretty easy to grade in the first place, right?
Yeah, and I actually find myself enjoying the subject, which is interesting because it was my least favorite subject in high school. But I'm definitely starting to enjoy it.
I think that's one of the things, though. Like, good players don't make good coaches.
Yes.
I found it because I had to teach a GED class and I had to teach algebra, and it wasn't my favorite thing either. And so you'd have to teach it to people that are very frustrated with math.
Right.
They don't like math. And I was right with them. It's
like, right.
There's a reason I majored in social studies. And so you learn tricks and you learn little ways to explain it that works for people. Yeah.
Yeah. I start out the year every year saying, I know you guys don't want to learn geometry. And I'll say, like, raise your hand if you like math. And there's always like two kids that are like, I do. So I relate with them. Like, it wasn't my favorite subject either, but if you give me your time and your attention, I'll try my best to make it fun for you. So
geometry is like statistics in my mind, where you can love math and then go into the classroom and go, oh crap, this is something else. There's something else going on here that is kind of beyond math or before math or somehow intertwined with math somehow. They're trying to convince me it is, but I don't think it is.
Yeah. And the logic component of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was blessed enough to grow up land surveying with my dad. So as a kid, we were out doing geometry in the field and pulling angles and minutes and seconds. Mm-hmm. And he was teaching me trig in the field. And I had no idea as a kid. Otherwise, I would have been completely lost in geometry.
Do you want to be a guest speaker next week?
If need be, I can be. Yeah, okay. It's not usually what I'm asked to be a guest speaker about, but I can probably pull it off. This is a snake, kids. This is a line.
There you go.
Curve. Yeah, okay. Sorry. I get carried away. If you were going to get stuck in any, was that kind of like your nightmare of classes to get stuck in, if you were going to get stuck in one? I say stuck. If you were going to get put, if you were going to get put into a class to teach, was that like the furthest thing that you wanted to do?
Chemistry. Don't give me chemistry.
That's the one I could teach.
Ooh.
Oh, no, not me, man. Chemistry. Way too much math in chemistry.
Cindy got me through chemistry in college.
Did she?
Yep.
Micro.
Oh, well, micro. We did some chemistry together, too, didn't we?
We did. You helped me more in chemistry than I helped you, though.
Yep. See, you helped me through chemistry, which eventually got me through organic. And that was organic 1 and 2 in college was a nightmare, but Cindy helped me figure it all out. That's where me and Cindy first met.
Right.
Yep,
okay.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yep. The whole biomedical degree. What did your degree end up being in?
So I had my mid-career crisis that made me switch to biomedical sciences because I thought, oh, I can't do this. I can't do social work forever. And then I changed my mind and went back and I finished for criminology and law.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, so I used microbiology and chemistry as electives.
Wow.
For a psychology-based degree instead.
That'll teach you.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So you said you went to the University of Miami.
No. UCF.
UCF.
Central Florida, yeah.
Okay.
She grew up in Miami.
I grew up in Miami. Okay, I misunderstood. So what was UCF like?
So much fun. I had the best time ever. It was basically like a small city. And I lived on campus for my first 2 years. So I just did everything possible that they offered on campus. So I had so much fun with it.
That's where it's at.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's where it's at. So you guys ready to get in some trivia?
Let's do it.
Uh-oh.
Trivia o'clock.
We'll see how I do.
So I try to build. I'll be honest with you. Most of the trivia questions, when I start writing them, I go, oh, okay, that makes sense. I could have probably figured that out. This one, yeah, I would have had no idea. I would have had, but looking at it now that I know it, of course, it kind of sort of makes a little bit of sense, I guess, but still, I would have had no clue.
Okay, come on,
so,
Frank.
Yeah, I know.
Hurry up. Make us feel dumb.
All right.
Go ahead.
So it's volleyball trivia.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so maybe you'll knock us out of the park.
This might make me look real bad.
No, it's.
They often do.
No, believe me, if this is one of these things that I don't think anybody's going to feel bad if you don't know this stuff.
Okay.
Number one, Cindy will know it all anyhow. Number one.
Okay.
Volleyball was invented by William J. Morgan in 1895. He was the physical director of what group?
I bet you it was the YMCA.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And it was the YMCA.
Okay.
There we go. There we go. Yep. Because I think that was also Naismith when he invented basketball. I think he was with the Y.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. He was looking for something for the kids to do indoors during the wintertime because they were getting in too many fights. Mm. Looking for something to tire them out.
Yeah, so that's pretty new sport in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things. Number two. On July 7th, 1896, the first game of volleyball was played where? It was a college, but what college?
Oh, gosh.
Again, weird facts. It was only 100-something years ago.
I don't know any colleges that were around.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing, Cindy.
Harvard's a good
Harvard.
Guess.
That's what we're guessing. But you want to pick another Ivy League school?
I'll piggyback off of Harvard.
Okay, we're all wrong.
I'm sorry. It was Springfield College. Now, I don't know what Springfield. I don't know Springfield where. It's like an episode of The Simpsons.
Right.
I have no idea what Springfield, but Springfield College.
Maybe Missouri?
Could be any. I heard one time that every state has a Springfield.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, I heard that once. I don't know if it's
now,
true.
Why would they do that?
Just for things like this, pretty much.
So we can mess this up.
That's interesting. Okay. All right. Interesting. All right. Number three. Volleyball originally used what sports ball to play until Mr. Morgan changed the ball to one made out of rubber in the 1900s? What kind of ball did they use before the actual volleyball?
Maybe a basketball? I feel like that's kind of heavy.
Okay. The control room saying basketball.
Basketball? Hey, Kat.
Basketball is true.
See,
can you imagine playing volleyball with a basketball?
No.
Like, my fingers already hurt. I can't even. Right. How does that work?
And the weight of it.
Yeah, it just seems like a disaster waiting to happen.
We train like that sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah, if we need to get Sutter's hand stronger, take a basketball against the wall.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I never knew that. Number four, during a match that was held in what country in 1916 were the skills of the spike and the set created? It wasn't the United States.
Russia.
Russia's a fair guess. Mr. Curtis, you got anything? Cindy? It's not Russia.
I have no idea.
I didn't realize that volleyball was even a thing in this country.
What year?
1916.
China.
It's actually the Philippines.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
You know,
okay.
The Philippines just, you know, kind of made the spike and the set. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, yes.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, I know. Why is that a tongue twister? I don't understand what that's.
I don't know.
I can't say it. I can't even say it now.
You still can't.
Yeah,
say
I know. What's going on with me?
Spike and the
spike
set.
Say it three times real fast.
No, I'm not doing that.
Number five. Volleyball was first played at the Paris Olympics in 1924, but medals were not awarded until the Olympics in what year and city? No medals
what?
Were given till
what?
Till
let's
many
get,
years
let's
later.
Let's make the Vegas question.
Till many years
come
right?
later. Come on, Frank.
Right.
Okay, I'll
Frank,
give you this.
This is lazy.
I'll give
this
you this.
Is lazy.
No, this took some time. I can give you a year or the city, and you decide. You figure out which other one is.
Okay.
You decide. Your
give
city.
Give me the year.
The year was 1964. What city was it?
Ooh.
Oh gosh.
1964.
Yeah, where were the Olympics at in 1964?
Ooh.
Paris was the one that you said in the question.
Paris was in 1924, yes. This was I'll give you a hint. You want a hint?
Yeah, give me a hint.
It was nowhere in Europe.
Okay.
Oh, it was nowhere in Europe.
You
okay,
want another hint?
Thanks.
You want another hint?
Yeah.
Was it Tokyo?
Yep. It was Tokyo.
Okay.
Ooh,
wow.
How did you just pull that out? How did you just do that?
Because it's the 60s. Japan was starting to rise to prominence, and usually when you get at Olympics, it's one of the things you're trying to show the world that you've arrived, and that would be about the time that Japan was arriving.
That's great logic.
It really is.
It really so, is.
Wow.
Okay. Or I just pulled it out of the air. You decide.
However you did it, it was pretty amazing.
Cool. You have me fooled if you pulled it out of the air.
Wow. Yeah, so actually, I think we got all but one of them right. All but the Philippines came out correctly.
Yeah, the Philippines. Yeah,
yeah, the Philippines.
And
yeah,
I blame Cindy for that one.
Well, yes, you should.
It's fair to blame Cindy for that.
Yeah.
Think about that, though. That in America, a game that was made in America 20 years previous got like a serious addition added to it by a country in the whole other side of the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, just think about
20
yeah,
years later.
It went yeah. all over the world that quickly. It kind of speaks to how it's a sport that people enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah
it's just crazy. The 20 years, and that, I mean, that was before technology.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was no technology where people were texting each other about
it's
the game.
Kind of like yeah. word of mouth, and it yeah. would go along. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So people would have had to have literally traveled over there
mm-hmm.
via boat, which would have probably taken 20 years.
No, it doesn't take that long.
It'd be a long boat ride.
Wow.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, anyhow. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having
me. Wait, so is your season going on right now, or your season's already done?
Club season's right now.
Club
school
season?
School season starts like July-ish.
Who do you coach for club?
I own a club in town.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Well, in 2018, when I moved over here, there wasn't really too much competitive volleyball going on. And so I told my mom, I think I'm going to start a volleyball club. And she said, well, I'm not helping. And she has helped me every day since.
Awesome.
And I kind of just started it with nothing. And
what's it called?
Now we're here, Indian River Elite Volleyball Club.
And where do you guys play?
We actually just got our first facility. It's across from Parish Hospital. It's
very cool
on Silver Star Road. So
okay. Yeah.
A little warehouse we took from the ground up, put some courts and a net, and
how cool is that? Wow. Well, if people want to get hold of you about that, where do they go?
They can just Google volleyball in Titusville, and we'll come straight up on the very top.
Okay, you guys have a website too?
Yep, we do. Website IndianRiverElitebbc.com.
Indian River Elite BBC?
VBC, like
VBC.
Volleyball club.
That makes more sense yeah. than BBC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I started thinking BCC. And now everybody's all
now
messed
you're
up.
Confusing yeah, everybody, Frank. So throw out some more letters.
It's Indian, say it's Indian.
Indian River Elite VBC.com.
Okay, that's the correct one, guys. Not anything else I just said. Forget everything else I just said. Oh Lord! But thank you so much for being
yeah,
on here with us.
Thanks for
really appreciate
me.
You.
Thanks, for me.
Guys. I reckon I appreciate you all being here. I reckon I appreciate it, but I actually do appreciate it. Man, I don't know. I'm having a weird talking
yes, this
spree.
This is not your best talking day.
No, it really hasn't been, but somehow it's working. So, yeah, thank you all for being here. Bill, Cindy, appreciate you guys. And we'll catch you all next time. Bye-bye.